Ωραία. Τώρα, τα γράμματα που λέει, σήμερα το ζούμε το Ιαλία, είναι, το ζούμε το Ιαλία, είναι σήμερα η Ιαλία, τα γράμματα που λέει, η Ιζήνια, είναι, τα γράμματα που λέει, σήμερα η Ιαλία, η Ιαλία, η Ιαλία, η Ιαλία, η Ιαλία, η Ιαλία,
So when we speak about the bringing about transformation of mind, it is something that can take place if we continue to sort of reflect upon the whatever the point is and reflect deeply into it, on it, and then try to develop a deep sense of conviction and grounded upon understanding. And then on the basis of that, then it is possible to voluntarily embrace that discipline upon oneself. And it is through that kind of voluntary embracing of the practice that the transformation can take place. Otherwise, one cannot expect transformation of mind to take place simply by imposing some kind of discipline or rule from outside.
So that the Hindu that simply ya kashu re pge so ju ja dan de la ene jun zen cha la chen ne pge che ne ni si ta ya chi che de ne che be che sa le ya ho ta te re san be sim ni ya ne ba ro pge ta be
So as the actual method for bringing about the transformation of mind, this transformation that we spoke about, generally there are two primary methods that are involved. One is to utilize the critical analysis, the critical faculty, to try to analyze things and then try to develop understanding through analysis. So that is one method. And the other method is to, once you have arrived at a certain conclusion as a result of this analytic process, then one should place one's mind single-pointedly upon that conclusion that one has arrived at, and maintaining some kind of placing one's mind absorbed upon this conclusion. So it is through the combination of these two methods, one analysis and the other more of a absorption or placement, one should bring about the change and the transformation that we are seeking. So during both of these application of both aspects of these two methods, it is important to maintain one's focus upon the chosen object of meditation, whether it be an analytic meditation where you are analyzing, where you are applying your analytic faculty upon a chosen object of meditation, or whether you are placing your mind single-pointedly upon that arrived conclusion. In both of these cases, it is very important to maintain one's focus undiverted from the chosen object of meditation, because if your mind becomes diverted, distracted by some other object extraneous to your own practice, then your mind would not have the strength or the force that it would otherwise have.
So did you do that? The sense is be shinetu gochobushare.
Therefore, the cultivation of the single-pointedness of mind, as explained in the teachings of tranquil abiding, is very important.
다 미국 지 가르치는 치다 미국의 난게 미국의 제다 에야 이제 돈이 미국 신내의 제다 근데 에서는 미국 신내의 제대로 먹고 있는 거야 알아 어 진짜 미국에 처박이 야말이 다 가다 그게 미국이야 로 샤당의 탄에 다 제공도 조금 사야 돼 이거 신내의 탄도 사야 돼다 미국에 간리야 미국 가인의 시대지 미국 가인의 대간리야 미주발 로 헨이 샤네 공주자네 다 저공 되고 샤브리 야 미국 치든 한게 지드신 미국 가인에 들려야 쨔 지드자네 다 방도 그거 된다 차려야 돼
Generally speaking, as for the object of one's meditation on tranquil abiding, shamatha, one can choose external objects or internal objects such as one's mind and so on. So the object of that tranquil abiding could be anything that one can choose. However, depending upon what kind of meditative process that you engage in, there will be one can describe that object as the object of tranquil abiding or object of penetrative insight or vipassana. Because if the chosen object upon which when you engage with it, if your engagement is primarily that of analytic, where you are using your analytic faculty, then sort of probing into the deeper nature of it, then that your meditation becomes vipassana or penetrative insight. Whereas if your meditation is primarily kind of focused for cultivating the single-pointedness of mind and maintaining that single-pointedness of mind, then that meditation is the meditation on tranquil abiding or shamatha.
Yeah. 다 양 안에 디 동이 야미겔샤니 꼼네 동이 또 땡에지기 나 근데 다 숨겨야 돼 전들이 이르자네 에네 따도네 꼼바서 와서 해야 돼 야 꼼도네 따와서 와서 드림이야 해 저 땅 안 하는 게 지금 따도하는 거 봤어야 했는데 가고 싶어야 돼. 그냥 따와 거에 가고 차. 아니 따와 지금 정신으로 고아 차 되는 집에 있네. 그냥 지금 그게 따도하는 그냥 바로 샤유 산대. 지금 소수 명월이야. 따도하는 그냥 바로 샤유 산대. 잡아 있나야. 아니 딱 간다 따도하는 샤유 산대 지금 일어나냐. 단단 거 뭐지? 아니 따가 있는 게 바로 고 그 시라 대모드보다 배지지. 저 니네 인도 자네 가고 그래. 사단 공도는 다워서 사단 내려야 공제 엔 디지리야 엔 다워단 믹스간다 다워장야 엔 디지고시야 공도는 다워서
of course one can also take emptiness as the object of one's meditation of both tranquil abiding and penetrative insight or special insight but generally this is the case for practitioners who already have the realization of emptiness. So in the text, we find such expressions as seeking meditation by means of the philosophical view, the view of emptiness, or seeking the view by means of meditation. So generally speaking, there are both cases where an individual practitioner may first have gained and the realization of emptiness, and from there cultivates the single-pointedness, tranquil abiding, focused on emptiness. Or there could be instances where individual practitioner first cultivates the tranquil abiding and then applies that to focus on emptiness. For us, however, for most of us, it is very difficult to first have the realization of emptiness and then seek tranquil abiding, focused on it, because even if we have quite a deep understanding of intellectual understanding of the emptiness of inherent existence. And then when we meditate upon it, we may feel as if we are cultivating a single pointedness of mind focused on emptiness. But it is very difficult at the beginner stage to ensure that your ascertainment of emptiness remains vibrant and also firm. Often in the process of cultivating the single pointedness of mind, we tend to lose the vibrancy of our understanding of emptiness. So generally, speaking for general practitioners, one must first cultivate the tranquil abiding, seek the meditation, and then from there learn to apply that faculty of single-pointedness to, onto emptiness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rāngu lūngā sīmne nāmdā jū jūgvē sīmgi tāñi tāmne bē tsirīm lāpa sūmla līgana tsirīm lāpa sūmla kūshī jū tēvēn. Nāmdā sōshā jū chēn jū sēm bē tāmdā nī bēbara chē bē sōshā jū sōni yōng sū sōba jū sūnām yī shī rāng shī jū sōni yōng sū sōba jū jūni sāng jī tāṁ jā rā ngā shī jī bā nī rū shī. Chidān tāp shō mā jē bē chāni kā lā pūrmī nī tīshī ngā shī tāp jē bē sēm jēn tēn jī nī mā ngā shī dēn bē nī rī sūnām dā nī kā yī bō ngā shī tā 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 jū lā yā wā kā yā yō mā jī nī rū tā bē chāng jū chō chō. Yonsu sabo dhujiwa teni, bensi ngishi da dhubo dhiki lelim, shine dhubo ma yinba, ngambar shiwa yungi, dhishi shine dhubi shi, yana yangto bebar cha. Shine yana nam nyambe, rudu bedi komche, yon lon zonra thakye kya, tingzin dhubo menjiru, dhishi tingzin suwa liwili, sumbe yana, leg, yana la leg ne, mibo kongru chita, yini kya la chakwa cha. Nansho shine dhubo kya, ngishi da jan dhubo njiru cha. Wala dhishya.
So we now read from the text from verse 32 onwards, which explains first the need for cultivating tranquil abiding, then also explains the method for doing so. So we read, when those observing the vow of the active altruistic intention have trained well in the three forms of discipline, their respect for these three forms of discipline grows, which causes purity of the body, speech, and mind. Therefore, through effort in the vow made by bodhisattvas for pure, full enlightenment, the collections for complete enlightenment will be thoroughly accomplished. All Buddhas say the cause for the completion of the collections, whose nature is merit and exalted wisdom, is the development of higher perception. Just as a bird with undeveloped wings cannot fly in the sky, those without the power of higher perception cannot work for the good of living beings. The merit gained in a single day by those who possess higher perception cannot be gained even in 100 lifetimes by one without such higher perceptions. Those who want swiftly to complete the collections for full enlightenment will accomplish higher perception through effort, not through laziness. Without the attainment of calm abiding, higher perceptions will not occur. Therefore, make repeated effort to accomplish calm abiding. While the conditions for tranquil abiding are incomplete, meditative stabilization will not be accomplished, even if one meditates strenuously for thousands of years. Thus, maintaining well the conditions mentioned in the collections of meditative stabilization chapter, place the mind on anyone, virtuous focal object. When the practitioner has gained calm abiding, higher perception will also be gained. But without the practice of perfection of wisdom... up to this point,
yeah. Hmm. dhūdhū mādhū sāyādhī, shīnē kī tūsōlī yādhā rālē vārē, tā, kāndā chīk shīnē dhūdhū sāyādhī, nē vēmbā chīklī yā, yāni, yītā yūn rū kō, shīnē jāngjāngā tā kōmyā chīk, tūn chūn chūn, tūn tūn tūn, yāni chāng mā, kāndā chīk hārān bē, chīk tā nīnzēm dhīrā chīk tāne, tā, kāsō pūrī jōgōng kī pūrī mīgō chāng, tā shīnē dhūyādhī kōgyā rē. 마다지 주주 상당 니니 주주 상당 신경 줄 해서 하고 그러셔. 저기 니 주자네고 서부 줄이야. 지금 뉴스는 로가지. 데이터스 가라 하고 그래. 근데 대뇽 자뇽 침 치는 상 지금 내지 타네. 근데 또 이제 식사라 지금 그게 안 보실 거야. 다들 이제 타네. 가다 신내기 주소지리 먹으시 무려 어디에 파스 주체 엔신이 주야 소마해. 땅 안에서 그지 지금 안 잡는 신내기 신내 주야지 배지다 나 그들이 신내 주는 양코 지 미딘데 광배 내리 내리 차발기 천비연 신내 주 나오지. 랑아 라메는 기름 그거는 신의 두야 신이요. 인주란다 신의 토신지기는 기름 두야 인벌에 그리기는 알아서 기름 두게 겁네. 아니 가서 신의 다 두야지. 드시면 뭐야?
Since the achievement of tranquil abiding depends upon whether or not one is successful in gathering the right conditions. for its realization, we find in the scriptures various conditions mentioned for the practice of tranquil abiding, such as seeking solitude, and also one needs to set aside a specific time for a deliberate, concerted, prolonged practice of single-pointedness of mind. And when you engage in the practice, you should have as many sessions as possible, but very short sessions, and the practice should be undertaken in such a way that there is no break during day and night, so as if there is a whole cycle of short sessions, one after another, but many short sessions, and also one needs to do that over a sustained period of time, and whereas the single-pointedness of mind, the achievement of tranquil abiding is not something that is going to occur by practicing single-pointedness of mind once in a while when you have the time, but one needs to set aside a specific time and undertake it over a sustained period of time during that specific a period that you have set aside. And in addition, one needs to ensure the right kind of way of life and the environment. One needs to make sure that one has as little chores as possible, and also as little concerns as possible, and also one needs to maintain a sound ethical discipline, and also a dietary conditions also make a big difference. One needs to ensure that the diet one observes is something that is suitable and appropriate to that kind of sustained cultivation of single-pointedness of mind. So so the realization of tranquil abiding is something that is not likely to occur through simple practice of single-pointedness here and there. For us, for those who are practitioners of Vajrayana Buddhism, however, in the context of the practice of generation stage, which is the sadhana practice, although generally many of these practices require the practitioners having gained the realization of tranquil abiding before, but also there is an allowance in these sadhana practices, generation stage practices, where as part of one's meditation, there are specific means for cultivating tranquil abiding within the context of the Vajrayana meditation. And given the various factors that are part of the Vajrayana meditation practice, it is said that In some cases, the realization of tranquil abiding could be easier in the context of Vajrayana practice.
That's why, chigliya ta lok ge sha yin du zane ta di ka so shi ne ku yir yir du gyo ma do wo bi she bu du gyo ma re sa ta ngal mi de kha yin ne di pe na chi mi de chi bi na chi mi de chi bi na di ni nya li ya pe ge lo li ya ho sha che de ne mi de di ge nam ba chin chi du ji lo li ya yir lu sha de so wa da ti mi de ni ma re sum nyen shin 看着丁子有数年的时间他看到第一年落了呀那么下去了他第一年下去了他第一年下去了他明天带了呀当然明天下午就落了呀下午去了他带了呀落他这些都学人上的不当去给他们把我给叔叔不知道你你给他们到了天下了学着他丁子里呀给这个明天里呀落下你的呀那是其他 National 아, 리아프게 파트 중에 이제 친해지기가 돼. 근데 인도산에 다 등지 게미지하게 개개 친구니 있어라 그래. 다 토아예요, 여튼이. 그 소주 친구니 시작을 해. 자다 다음에 신기 무고의 유기야 그래. 무고 친해 뛰는 거래. 자다 독수리 친구도 그런 유부디 다 유기야. 그래서 인도산에 친구니 유부디 모셔버 채니. 다 대안이 냠냠 그때네 다 모셔버 고유야 그래. 제네다 총수들한테 심파도 지그게 배터마지 해야 단대로 소소를 다 심파지 통고 매와 심 통류지면 되네. 그것들한테 대작을 유리야 심 터댕에. 그 리스야리. 딱 진군이자로리야 라바다 타와다 신도 타와신 내용되기도 와. 저다디 진구 니부디 냠냠이 되네. 무엇이 버체니? 다 친구급 총회급은 야니 냐부 땡고요. 냐부 그러시다고 했었나? 지원해야지 섬 팡 마차를 되는 말이에요. 섬 팡 마차도 그 집이 집 회시시서로 통실을 좀 해야 되는지 또 염당으로 내인지 지원을 해야 돼. 섬 팡 마차를. 다야 섬 팡 마차 유산은 섬이야. 충분히 배 통실되고 그러지 배 그걸 때문에 이루자는 섬 팡 토를 주고요. 섬 팡 토를 신고 그들은 야 그러지 않으니까요. 知道我的 증후人吧 碰天人吧几个发的 你증후几个蛮用几个 但说是娘娘的 但光明是不是故意的
So when actually cultivating tranquil abiding we need to choose an object of meditation and the object of meditation that is required for the practice of tranquil abiding is not something a visual image at the sensory level, but rather it's an image that needs to be cultivated at the mental level. So it is not that the actual object of the meditation is not a physical object, but rather the mental image of that physical object, whatever you choose. Therefore, these objects of meditation are sometimes referred to in the scriptures as meditative images or meditative reflections, reflections on the meditation, meditative state of mind. So therefore one needs to first cultivate the familiarity with the chosen object so that one can call to one's mind that image at the mental level without having to visually look at the chosen object. So once you have learned to call to your mind the chosen object of meditation, then one needs to make a strong kind of determination that I will retain the focus of my attention on this chosen object. So with that determination, then you should try to maintain that attention or focus on that chosen object of meditation. So when you are placing your mind onto that object of meditation, then there are two elements that are crucial. One is the ability to retain your attention to the chosen object. The other one is the dimension of the aspect of clarity and alertness of the mind. So these two need to be present. And because if there is no stability or the ability to sustain your focus on the chosen object of meditation, then you will your mind will be distracted. Your mind will get diverted by some other extraneous thoughts or objects. So, on the other hand, even if you may have this ability to sustain your focus, but if there is no clarity and there is no alertness, then the quality of your single-pointedness will not have that sharpness. Therefore, it is important to ensure that both these elements are present, and the ability to sustain your focus and this alertness and clarity. Now, that which undermines the ability to maintain your focus is distraction. So therefore, distraction is one of the important obstacles, one of the main obstacles for your practice of tranquil abiding. And that which obstructs, that which undermines your ability to maintain this clarity of mind and alertness, it is the mental sinking or mental laxity which undermines your ability to remain sharp and alert. Therefore, these two factors, mental excitement and mental laxity, these two are considered to be the most important obstacles, the two most important obstacles to the cultivation of tranquil abiding. Generally speaking, there are other obstacles such as mental scattering and also kind of a mental dullness. But there are gross forms of these obstacles. The two most important obstacles are mental excitement and mental laxity. And therefore, the meditator's task is to try to identify and develop the sensitivity to really discern the arising of these obstacles within one's mind. And that can be done mainly on the basis of one's own personal experience by judging the thought processes and one's own state of mind and to really see what is at play within one's experience. And so one will understand that mental excitement arises when your state of mind is too uplifted. The mental laxity arises when you notice that there is a kind of a degree of relaxedness in your mind, and when the state of your mind is too downcast, then laxity or mental sinking arises. And in order to counter this, you need to try to find a way of uplifting your state of mind, which will then counter mental sinking and laxity or laxity. On the other hand, when your mind is too uplifted, and then a mental excitement arises, and then you need to find another means to try to bring that level of upliftedness down to a more kind of sober state. So it is through these ways the meditator needs to find for himself or herself, subjectively and on the basis of one's own experience, kind of the right balance, so that your mind is neither too excited nor is it too lax, so that you have the right balance. And this is something that needs to be done on the basis of one's own personal experience and through gaining experience of the practice.
Then they have in a chipa kunyam meeting yam chungs chef and chita sort of sorrow that's inches. Good bets, hurts.
Generally, for Buddhist practitioners, it is actually very beneficial to take, say, the image of the Buddha as one's object of meditation when cultivating tranquil abiding. And if you do this, it is quite helpful to try to choose an object the right size, not too large, about an inch or two in height, and try to imagine this image to be quite brilliant, and also a kind of a rather weighty, having some kind of solidity. And then imagine this image of the Buddha in front of you, and then if you choose that as your object of meditation, and then focus your mind upon it and cultivate tranquil abiding, and this is most beneficial. It is also possible to cultivate tranquil abiding on the basis of choosing one's own mind as the object of meditation. And this is, however, the case. This is the case in practices such as the Mahamudra, the great seal tradition, where when cultivating tranquil abiding, the main object of meditation is chosen to be one's own mind. Then here, if you do that, first of all, it becomes necessary to try to get some understanding of this object of meditation, which is your mind. And here, it is not sufficient simply to have a definition of mind. Mind is that phenomenon which is luminous in knowing. That alone is not sufficient. You must have an experiential sort of understanding of what mind is. And so the question is, how do we cultivate that experiential understanding of mind so that we can use that as an object of meditation on calm, tranquil abiding? So here one method is to do the following practice, which is to try to see if you can bring about the cessation of all past recollections, all thoughts that are kind of directed and that dwells upon past experiences, and then you try to put an end to that, and then also then you try to put an end to any thoughts that are directed into the projecting into the future, whether it be anticipatory thoughts or fear or whatever it is, and then try to sort of thus clearing away thoughts focused upon past experiences and thoughts projecting onto future, try to find that, maintain that present experience and find that kind of gulf or the gap. So you will experience a kind of a vacuum. Because normally, in our day-to-day experience, not only during the sort of active experiences of sensory faculties, even when we don't have any sort of obvious sensory experiences, our thoughts are always colored by conceptualization. It is almost as if our mind is totally wrapped in layers of conceptualization. So what we are trying to do is to try to see if we can take these layers of the conceptualization away so that we have a kind of an experience of the mind as it is. And this is done by kind of differentiating thoughts dwelling onto the past and thoughts projecting onto future and trying to sort of grasp that present moment. And this initially may be experienced as a kind of a vacuum, a kind of a gulf with nothing. But this is not the vacuum that is, this is not the emptiness that we speak about. This is basically an absence of conceptualization that directs onto the past and future. And through prolonged practice and sustained practice, you know, if we can extend that gap, that gulf that we experience, initially it may be a very momentary one, a very fleeting one, but gradually as a result of practice, one will be able to extend that experience of the gap or the gulf to sort of more and more longer period, so that eventually one will get a sense of what is truly meant by luminosity and knowing. And then we choose that as the object of meditation.
Oh, yeah, that. That's the difference. Then, that's the difference. Thing is, if I do not, Korean,
thus as a result of cultivating this meditative absorption, which is described, that the process of which is described in the scriptures as involving 9 stages of mental development. And these 9 stages of mental development describes the process, the gradual process through which the practitioner gradually acquires greater and greater ability to sustain one's focus without distraction. So initially, when one enters a meditation session, one may experience more moments of distraction than more moments of being able to maintain one's focus upon the object. However, gradually, as a result of sustained practice, then this situation will change, so that at least during the meditation session, one will experience more moments of single-pointedness than a distraction. Still, as one pursues further into one's practice, then one will be able to really refine one's faculties of mindfulness and faculty of diligence. And these two faculties of meditation practice will become more and more heightened, so that they will be able to counter even the arising of subtle levels of mental excitement and mental laxity, so that gradually, as a result of the increase of force of one's mindfulness and diligence, then one will eventually get to a point where in the meditation session one may be able to retain one's focus upon the chosen object undistracted over a long period of time, such as up to 3 or 4 hours, without distraction. And at that time, the practitioner has reached what is called the ninth stage of mental development. And as he or she pursues further with the practice, then as a result of this heightened state of meditative absorption, then one eventually experiences a physical and mental pliancy, suppleness of body and mind, giving rise to the blissful experience. At that point, then the person has attained a tranquil abiding, shamatha.
That is not sure of it. Sure, how do you change the territory of Samuel? Tejin, you must say that you don't want to bump it. Sure, how do you change the dog of Turkey Combatas? Hm? That don't you come worries? Maringa, that sure of come worries. Why any? Initially, part of Simbatea, any? Any person, somebody, Gavachon or Tamjata, Gavanam, the top shares. Tabum Wangi, Dunigi, Kunshi Shiro Namgomba, Denny Changu, the tops. Tabla Kombe, Da, any, Denny, that Shiro, Tabu Simbacheni, Chigina, any, you move because of Shisha to be able to get to this, so anybody. Tada my inver. 대니 정신으로 담이 찍고 건데 민. 어,
도스. Then verse 41 line 3 from that point the text explains the necessity for cultivating the wisdom of emptiness. So we read, but without practice of the perfection of wisdom, the obstructions will not come to an end. Thus, to eliminate all obstructions to liberation and omniscience, the practitioner should continually cultivate the perfection of wisdom with skillful means. And then he explains the importance of cultivating the union of the two. Wisdom without skillful means, and skillful means too without wisdom, are referred to as bondage. Therefore, do not give up either. Then we read further. To eliminate doubts concerning what is wisdom and what is skillful means, I shall make clear the difference between skillful means and wisdom. Apart from the perfection of wisdom, all of virtuous practices, such as the perfection of giving, are described as skillful means by the victorious ones. Whoever under the influence of familiarity with skillful means cultivates wisdom, will quickly attain enlightenment, not just by meditating on selflessness.
That's it. 탑시 야마저 고를 생각에 시럽디 또 있니? 또 있는 거 시럽을 쓰게 하래. 진짜 인디 시럽 그릇을 쓰게 됐으려나? 풍북함다 깨지는 깨워면 뭐 또 이게 런시 동리 시럽은 시럽 지는 영수 쉐스.
And then the question is, if one needs to cultivate the wisdom unified with the skillful means, what kind of wisdom must one cultivate? Because generally speaking, there are many different types of wisdoms. For example, the scriptures speak of the wisdom of understanding the conventional reality, such as the five fields of knowledge, and the wisdom understanding the ultimate nature of reality. So here, the text identifies what is meant by wisdom. So we read, understanding emptiness of inherent existence through realizing that the aggregates, constituents, and sources are not produced is described as wisdom.
That's it, no? Pungu도 감도 깨지리지, 깨와 열에서는 깨와 열에. 풍부 깨지 주디디, 라다 풍부다. 되는 류제 감다. 지금 류제 깨지 디디, 간단히 교도 깨는 되는 그 중직체 되는 지. 대단하야. 그 띵시디, 그 다 낭성, 땅성기, 남중한다, 남주시, 마다 마셔봐라. 다 유인 되든디, 아니 대부분 되든디 깨세하러. 지금 대부분이 아니 D니 왜냐 이제 랑에벤 대부분 지금 뒤에 계산으로 맞아도 남사만 굳이 셔드려요. D 남사 샤브는 시 되나 내려라 준비가 잘 지려요. 그래서 다 유인 대부 계산. 이 컨디션 컨디션 쓰게요. 컨디션에 파지 낭섬 대마 심벌 재배이나 아니 당근 자와 사야지 샤브래요. 당근 자였으려니 딱왜 되는지 가리면 낭성 대입 마침벌 아니 당근 짜나 아니 늘 우체벌 누구야 하래 단점 우체벌 누구야 하래 와 자진대 인도산에 딱 뉴지에게 변화 풍부 나다 대신 뉴지에 감다 대신 뉴지에게 쉬어디디 깨끼기 하래 규진기 차와 규진기 규리견을 되네 그 진지 융지체 대하실래 저리 있는 대런심화도 흔들지 하래 자가 심벌이나 니야 좋아하는 매발이 근데 인도산에 탄여도 끼기 열어디 이내 단 담보를 짜베이는 그 아니 겨와 매버지 그것도 실패하지 열해. 근데 인도 봉금 계시는 겨와 매버 더불어 유배 아니 다 정신스럽나 지코라 현지 현지상 지코라 대만에 유해되고 루브르도 짜고 마인다. 근데 인도산에 최남기 대만식으로 코레베 푸지 두루루 코랑기 시도 어디 들으셨나요? 정신스러운 거예요. 근데 정신 아니 동반이 견과 여대는지 제일 유산에 다 겨와 매버지 겨와 니주 뭐 주네 아니 그게 겨와 매버지 통 유산에 어디 들으셨나요? 기주 여대는지 코랑기 정신도 주고 내로수 주고 겨와 매버 대인이 코랑기 동의 쓰게 말해요. 그래서 이 유산에 드니르베다 랑시 동니 셰바테 아니 검드란다 시르스다디 드니르베다 동니 셰비 시르스라 쓰게 하래 셰임레
The question is if the wisdom realizing the inherent absence of inherent existence of aggregates and so on is the wisdom that it needs to be cultivated here. How do we understand this wisdom of emptiness? So here the text explains that so when we look at aggregates and the constituents and the elements and so on, sources and so on, do they have origination? Do they come into being from causes? And if so, how can they be said to be devoid of inherent existence? So here, the point being made is that one is not denying that these phenomena, such as aggregates, elements, and the sources, and so on, do not possess any origination. and they do not come out, come into being as a result of causes. Rather, what is being rejected is that that their coming into being, their origination, is somehow intrinsic to them, or somehow possesses an intrinsic existence. For example, when we conventionally make the claims that from such and such cause, such and such effects ensue, from such and such factors, such and such results will come about. When we make such claims, we are making it at the level of conventional reality, without probing, without going deeper into the ultimate nature of things. Whereas if we are unsatisfied by the understanding of the operations of cause and effect at the mere level of appearance, at the mere level of conventional truth, if we were to seek for some kind of inherent existence of these cause and effects, then the more we search for it, we will fail to find anything that can really withstand that kind of critical search. Therefore, this unfindability is described as suggesting the absence of inherent existence. And this mode of looking beyond what we perceive, looking for some kind of ultimate nature of things, ultimate mode of being of things, is described as seeking their ultimate truth, or seeking their true mode of being. And this true mode of being is their nature, which is described in the scriptures as emptiness. And the realization of that emptiness is what is meant by wisdom in the context here.
Mm. 대기 감이 좋은 시리 똥니 짜바다 차와 지양과 이거 말을 했으니 아주 쉬대하디 딱하다 똥만 있을 때하디 지 가나 내버지게 시기어 말해 그 시지 아니 그 여당하고 아니 남중 안 들려 남대하는 시지 유루티 매등해 유루티 똥 대리 시기어 대리 이모 인도산에 东西实现起等呢，东西是下过的嘛多，东西实现的嘛这个东西是还是下没嘛的。这第二呢，咱呢，入住的，看，他娘的嘛的，他们就是东面就是送的。没现在几天不要的，到时候这里家要的，俺这里这里家么子送的，确实的，派人我送的，确实被，你都没有，也不是下呢，第一等呢。
这种事业呢，在呢，这种事业我也过着嘛多。确实，哎呢，不收入买不起了呀，东北你垫了回来，垫了回来要买的是。他娘的嘛的嘛，他们就是东北就是送的呀。是。那你印度安德的，碰不康的，这些他们现在的确实是送，他也是送。大家那心给安德的，老多拿了呀，那你收入就可多了，那东西垫了回来，你就在那边多忙个农场呢，你。
좀전되게배디동이를소유자네나카사를쉬우는시리냐를배지타니에배배게지패뉴깽가요기차상이송제태송사를쉬우고대대탐자이냥민성다성스니오니두가매바스니엔디다야지고시그라소치고용되기도가자들이이르고간다최전되게패뉴무슨쟁에지실시안에다패뉴여댕에지강리야다디유탁절이 유로코 로나만 신신이 누가 간지해도가 나다도 누가 민도 능수리 셴베 들루지게다네 다지 상담이 제기하래.
So as I explained earlier, that we should not have the notion that somehow there is an isolated emptiness that is independent of everything, that exists out there on its own, not dependent upon any objects or any basis, because when we speak of emptiness, we are speaking about the ultimate nature of things. Therefore, emptiness can only be understood in relation to things and events, and so the therefore it has to be always explained on the basis of some objects or some basis. And the, what is involved here is to is the quest, is the search to understand whether or not things and events exist in the manner in which we tend to perceive them. So when we are seeking to cultivate the wisdom of emptiness, what we are seeking is to really understand what is the ultimate mode of being of these things, what is the ultimate nature of these things and events. And therefore, one can never cultivate an understanding of emptiness and divorced from the world of multiplicity. Therefore, Nagarjuna states in the Fundamentals of the Middle Way, and that he says that without dependent upon the conventional the truth, one will fail to realize the ultimate truth. And also, we find in Shantideva's Shiksha Samucha, Compendium of Practices, where when presenting the teaching on emptiness, he provides a profusion of citations from so many different Mahayana sutras, all presenting a kind of a enumeration of lists of various categories of the path and various taxonomy of reality. And then based upon this taxonomy, then he explains the emptiness. So this is similar to what I said yesterday about, in a sense, what happens is that by presenting all these and this vast taxonomy, you're building a kind of an edifice, and then after having done that, and then the point is made that all of this are devoid of inherent existence. None of this possess inherent existence. So in a sense, there is a process of dismantling as well. So the point is that what is involved in developing the wisdom of emptiness is the analysis to determine whether or not things and events exist in the manner in which we tend to perceive them, or whether there is their ultimate mode of being is something that is different from the way in which we tend to perceive them. And that really is the crux of the meditation on emptiness. So the point is that the basis upon which you are cultivating your understanding of emptiness are things and events which have direct bearing on a sentient being's experience of pain and pleasure. So these are things whose existence you cannot deny that they are real, and they have impact upon one's experience of pain and pleasure. Furthermore, in the scriptures, a dependent origination, understanding of dependent origination is stated to be the most powerful means of arriving at the knowledge of emptiness. So dependent origination is described as the most powerful proof of existence. Most powerful proof of emptiness. So what this suggests is that when engaged in the quest for understanding emptiness, and as a result of reductively analyzing the aggregates and so on, then when we fail to find some kind of entity that possess intrinsic reality, we do not then arrive at the conclusion, therefore it does not exist. We do not draw that conclusion, but rather we draw the conclusion that they exist, given that they cannot be found when searched through such critical analysis. They must exist only by means of dependent origination. Therefore, a genuine understanding of emptiness must really take place where the moment you reflect upon your understanding of the emptiness of inherent existence, that very understanding will indicate that things exist. So you feel, one should feel almost as if when you hear emptiness, you should hear its implication, which is that dependently originate, existing by means of dependent origination. So therefore, a genuine understanding of emptiness is said to be where one understands emptiness in terms of dependent origination. A similar point can also be found raised in Navajuna's precious garland, where when explaining the emptiness of the person, selflessness of person, he proceeds by explaining how the reductive analysis, where he explains how person is neither the earth element nor the water element, fire element, and so on, and he approaches through this reductive process, and then he, having failed to find person, something called person that is independent of these various elements, nor having failed to find the person to be identifiable or as either any of these elements, then he raises the question, if that is the case, where is the person? And then after that, he does not immediately conclude saying, therefore, person does not exist. Rather, he then immediately brings up the idea of dependent origination. He says that the person is therefore dependent upon the aggregation of the six elements. And so the point being raised is that person exists, and the person is real. Person undergoes experience of pain and pleasure, and also the elements that constitute the person's existence, they are also real. They can impact upon the person's experience. Now, although they exist, and when we look for them, for example, although the person exists, and when we search for it, amongst the various elements that constitute the individual, which is where one would normally expect to find, but although it exists, but we fail to find it within the elements where one would expect to find it, then the question is, in what manner can we understand its existence? And there Nagarjuna brings up the concept of dependent origination. He says, we can therefore understand person's existence only in terms of its dependent origination. And then having made the point of the dependent origination, he then concludes, therefore, person is devoid of intrinsic existence. So this is an important point where the transition is from the reductive analysis, not failing to find the person, then next is the dependent origination, and then as a result of understanding its dependent origination, then you arrive at the final conclusion that it is devoid of inherent existence.
Any chen rang shin ji tong wa de gen ge ni umma ba chara cha da wa re si ani chen na mo ni ji du me na ani chen na ge ga so ji sang de ngen kho wa de nyang de ge du be che che da te sa ji ni sha ha yong ma re che kho rang de ngen du me na en ta shen shi ge ta che ji yong shin ma re zi zang kho rang kho rang tong wa de shi ta so di ne yin ba yin na ini umma ba chara cha da wa re si chen tu 저러셔들이야 고물루루 파 랜준드잖아 아니 결한게 아니 동반이 고아 신도 동반이 고아디 야우지 참인도스 네 있는 동반이 세대야지 땡신대로 좋아인 벌이야 동반이 쓰기스 마돈 매버지로 동고 세네 니기 매버 상고 좋아네 동반이 쓰기미 동니 동반이 쓰기미스 쟤는 왔다 가사리 땡신대로 좋아한 거 되네 동반이도 쉐스 땡신대로 좋아 강인버티 아니 동반이 쓰리스 봐 대는 우매 남리스 그 땡진 대본 중에 인사 매바에 말해 그 뭐니 이거 또 인사 정신이 예배 그 딱바에 타 통하지 말해스 근데 인데 가사 땡진 대본 중에 대는 동반이 대는 땡에 따고 돼서 땡에 따고 인사 그 매바에 말해 그 땡에 따니 예를 진두자네 다 대인이 딱 제가 타다 줘요 우무 차게 말해스 어다 그래서 뭐 그지 땡중 어 디젠 땡진 저거 저거 저 동문이 되시 땡네 땡네 다고 저 팀이 우면 남이 놓으스 다 딜레이 인바 인사 그지 땡중 뭐 인바 청해 봐 뭐 이거 그지 동문 뭐 청해 봐 뭐 이놓서 되다 어 쟤네다 쳔 가야 이 땡네 저거 시다레스 다 땡네 중 뭐 인바 지켜내 내가 인데 런시 동문 뭐 인바 지 借요 말이 사디 소인
Similarly, you know, in the 24th chapter of Nagarjuna's Fundamentals of the Middle Way, Madhyamagamula Karika, we find a question or objection being raised from the Buddhist realists who charge the Madhyamakas, the proponents of emptiness, that that they are nihilistic. And the question is, objection is raised that if things and events are devoid of inherent existence, which means then the whole samsara and nirvana too would be devoid of inherent existence. And if this is the case, then essentially what you are saying is that nothing exists, everything is empty. So to this objection, Nagarjuna makes the following response. He says that such an understanding of emptiness as nothingness, as you present, is a misconception of my view.
네, 이거는 동문이 지금 뭐지? 그런 식으로 동. 그래서 그런 게 동문이 하는 거로.
So the objection is raised that if you maintain that all phenomena are devoid of inherent existence, then this is tantamount to making the assertion that nothing really possesses any existence. Therefore, your view is nihilistic. To which Nagarjuna responds by saying that and this reflects a misunderstanding of the Madhyamaka's position. By emptiness we do not mean mere nothingness. By emptiness we mean dependent origination. Then he explains that whatever is dependent origination, I assert that to be empty, and that in turn I assert to be dependently designated or dependently labeled, and this I call the middle way, part of the middle way. So the point being made here is that by making the statement that all dependently originated phenomena are devoid of inherent existence, Nagarjuna is saying that he transcends the extreme of absolutism because he rejects the absolute reality of things. And by stating that these things, in event, which are devoid of inherent existence, yet possesses dependent nature, they exist as dependent originations, he transcends the extreme of nihilism. And thus, this transcendence, this freedom from extremes of nihilism and absolutism represents the true middle way. And having made that identification of the understanding of emptiness as the true middle way, then he goes on to make the following statement. There is nothing whatsoever that is not dependently originated. Therefore, there is nothing whatsoever that is not devoid of inherent existence. Then
a question can be raised that if this is the understanding of Nagarjuna's understanding of dependent origination, that he accepts nothing whatsoever that is not dependently originated, because he accepts nothing whatsoever that is that possesses inherent existence, then the question is, does that imply that according to Nagarjuna, all phenomena, both transient and also permanent phenomena, those that are not conditioned, are they all said to be dependently originated? Here it is helpful to understand that there are different levels of meaning to the idea of dependent origination. For example, at one level, we can understand the notion of dependence in terms of causes and conditions. So this meaning of dependent origination is relevant to the world of causes and effects. So here, the dependence is understood in terms of dependence upon causes and conditions. However, there is a second, and this will this understanding of dependent origination will cover only conditioned things. However, there are different levels of another level of understanding of dependent origination, where dependence is understood more in terms of mutual dependence. For example, in the case of the mutuality of concepts, for example, when we speak of long and short, there is a mutuality of concepts. Something is posited as long in relation to something. Similarly, when we look at things, we can understand that thing or an event having part and whole, and whole is constituted by the parts, and parts are posited in relation to the whole, that is the composite of that. And so there is So in this sense, one can understand the entire world, both conditioned and unconditioned, as being dependently originated. There is another level of understanding of dependent origination, where dependence is understood more in terms of the subject, of the labeling mind. For example, when we say something exists, and if we were to look for it or its, look for its essence objectively, nothing can withstand that critical probe. And so when we search for whatever it may be, when we search for it objectively, there is nothing whatsoever that really can be referred to as the true referent of that term. And this, however, doesn't suggest that whatever the mind labels, it becomes real. Of course, the labeling process is there, but also what is labeled must not be invalidated by another conventional knowledge, and also it must not be invalidated by the critical analysis that probes into its ultimate nature. So, when we label something as something and look for the true referent of this term objectively, there is nothing that really stands out to justify that label that is given to that thing. So what do we conclude from this is that nothing possesses absolute objective reality. All things, the existence of things can be understood and posited only as mere appellations, mere designations, and mere names. So one can therefore see that there are three, broadly speaking, three different levels of meaning to the concept of dependent origination. So according to Nagarjuna, the dependent origination really covers the entire spectrum of reality.
Dajane, chazang da khasa anda dikishwa anda kholo rubusubat shizane zoro di leban nabar chawa sa di shawa yina anda san zambe da chwe thamja dembe tawa sa di lol mo shur se chwe thamja dembar ma du na da ngoni yi dhuwe tawa na enda chwe shaa ma tuwa chwe yiwa yidu zane di bizao na yang kya ma nabar chwe shawa yina yang shishin gom doji na lol ya da dam doji zo 三级孙子做一车，那西行到这个里呀，苏南南京把这学生些模拟住当然是，前年送给伢的，搿就里头到底也是，搿啥情况是看哪个伢的，到底他西行把这上当呢？苏南南京把学生些老人模拟住当然是，那么伊那样，这个嘛的，你这一辈子呢，当模拟迷路，送了呀，光呢，你模拟没有送的，先当差钱呢，先你送差钱呢，哎。 군다랑생이
However, this Nagarjuna's understanding of emptiness as inherent absence of inherent existence of all things and events is something that is, of course, not accepted by all. For example, yesterday we spoke about the third turning of the wheel of Dharma, and one of the principal texts of that being Sandinirmochana Sutra, which is the sutra unraveling the intention of the Buddha, which is one of the primary scriptures for the mind-only school. So the mind-only school does not accept literally the statements found in the Perfectional Wisdom Sutras, where there is a categorical negation of inherent existence across the entire spectrum of reality. And so the mind only school, the followers of mind only school, does not accept that this statement should be taken literally. So what they do is they contextualize that statement by differentiating between three natures of phenomena: the designated phenomena, or imputed phenomena, or imputed nature, or the dependent nature, or the perfect nature. And in relation to these three natures, then they contextualize and interpret the Buddha's statement that all phenomena are devoid of inherent existence. And so they contextualize and differentiate the meanings in relation to different contexts, whereas the followers of the middle way school, the Madhyamaka school, accept that the teachings of the professional wisdom represent a definitive standpoint and accept this categorical rejection of inherent existence across the entire spectrum of reality.
So that tenzi sa chik di pinzu doi ne jaya chik ta di pinzu doi ne ta kaso namsha chik shaa shaba di rigwendoba me dewa chik namsha dewa shubi shaa tuya chik yungurwa tiri chik tohne to namsha shaa tuza ne ko yul doi ne yujin, yujin doi ne yus ko samal doi ne shaa 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 doi ne samas maa do ko shaa shaa jaa chik samal samal jaa chik rungri saa di kukumaya wale ba chik daga nang shing ki 민상기 시바치 샤토는 민상기 치료체지에 그 샤초고요. 자, 근데 인도산에 시바 딘두슬럽니 지코브게 랑스버르지 뇽 랑스버르지 예바르 이지체 다 치료체디 에는 그 랑스버시 말이 디에디니 가시우르 그게 로더 더니 지르 수는 대샤 카우스비 때문에 치료가 시바 딘두셔야지 선선비 시고로 와. 다 우모바 다 되는 애야 우모바한테 뒤 땡지 뚜두스야 되게 거야우 차네 뒤 땡네 남샤 대부분 저시도 자네 가서 그게 잔디 주인비네 너 난 유진 시바지다 치료 유니부디 딱성 딱성부 땡네 이어난다 그러다 딱 거라 니가로 이네 모니 배가 잔다 리스탄이 이제 자네 난 즘바유 치수원 메시니 아니 여치고 매버리
So if one can understand this principle of dependent origination in terms of this mutual dependence of concepts that I spoke about earlier, then there is a certain simplicity to one's worldview, because one can then posit the existence of things in relation to others. For example, one can then posit, define objects in relation to subjects. One can define objects of knowledge in relation to cognitions. One can define various things in relation to others. Therefore, there will be a certain symmetry and also kind of a completeness to one's worldview. And there will be no need to struggle in the way in which such as the mind-only school struggles, where in order to verify the existence of objects, they posit a valid cognition, and in order to posit, in order to verify the existence of the valid cognitions, then one needs to posit a further faculty called the our perceptive reflexive self cognition, or this faculty of self cognition, and so on. And this kind of problem arises when one fails to recognize the absence of inherent existence across the entire spectrum of reality, and makes distinctions between the world of internal consciousness or mind and the world of external objects. For example, the mind-only school denies the reality of the external world of matter, and maintains that the internal world of subject, such as consciousness and so on, enjoy a greater reality and accord them some kind of inherent existence. So so this is completely contrary to the way in which Madhyamaka understands the nature of the world, and they understand the existence of things in terms of mutual dependence, this concept of dependent origination. Thus they are able to maintain that all things and events, including subjects, objects, valid cognitions, and their objects of knowledge and so on, all things and events are mere designation, mere labels, mere appellations.
Ene kansa sa de chen sha yu zhen ne ji ke su ge shou ne shi ji gu xin na bu shi sa ru ji yi ji na bu shi sa ji le kansa la shang de ba ba ene kansa sa ya de ko da ru zhen jian me de ba ko ming wang ge yue zeng ji de ne sha yu zhen ne ge le ka wu de shi gu ya ma le xian sam zhen de de yi shi ji guo xia yin ne ya se me de de ge ne ge lu ya yan de de ma de ro ba sha gu shi de shang ni shang gu zhen ne ko de ma de cha ne ene gu shi ji na shi sa ji xian bu ba so da de ge
哦，刚才明王的原则，天中对住是啊，地团呢，那南下的，就是都是下的。If one is not able to really understand the world world in terms of this principle of dependent origination, and one feels the need to really posit some kind of objective reality to things, then one runs into all sorts of problems. Like as I described yesterday, for example, if we are trying to search for what exactly is the nature of person or the self, then if one engages in this analysis with an underlying kind of belief that there must be a person, something that is objectively real, that should be findable, and you know, at the end of one's search, then you are compelled to find all kind of means of identifying what that objectively real thing, phenomenon would be. For example, in the case of mind-only school, there was the attempt to identify person or the self with mental consciousness, and in some cases when the mental consciousness is still found to be too transient, then there was the need to posit another faculty that has a much, that is supposed to have a much enduring status, called the fundamental or foundational consciousness or store consciousness, alayana vijnana, and so on. On the contrary, if you are comfortable with the Madhyamaka worldview of understanding everything in terms of the principle of dependent origination, then when analyzing the nature of person, one will arrive at an understanding that person is a mere designation that exists in relation to the aggregates that constitute that person's existence. In fact, if you analyze quite deeply one's own personal experience of how we engage with the world, we will find that a lot of the conventions that we utilize in our engagement with the world, a lot of the terms, a lot of the concepts, a lot of the conventions that we apply, they tend to be either grounded in some past experience or shared experience or something that has really happened in the past. So they are really grounded either in the past or our fears or apprehensions or anticipation that really projects onto the future. So much of our engagement with the world by using much of the conventions, much of the terms, concepts and these factors that we use in our engagement, really engagement with the world, really come from either past experiences or our projection into the future. Whereas if therefore the conventions, the terms that we apply to the world, if one were to insist on something that is directly relevant only to whatever is present with no relation whatsoever to the past and future, then there will be nothing left, because all of our engagement, all the apparatus that we use when we engage with the world really come either from our past experiences or our projection into the future.
사람도 다른 세상에서 삼시담이 있는 그렇게 유딩 속을 했다. 그 파지 삼담이 있는 다다서고 이해하십니다.
And in fact, if we try to analyze and search for what is this present, we will it's not findable.
야는 대화를 주지 않는 망고를 주는데 다다서 하나입니다.
Because when we look at units of time and try to kind of pinpoint what is the present, then we fail to find one. The units of time either tends to be past or they tend to be future.
That is dizzy, Shana, sometimes. That don't you use what you do, never shave your hour. That you have a gane, danger you use a gane, that don't you do, we are. So the name is an entity. 가르베가 가르쳐서 얘는 여러 인코 다 사실은 들어보다고 좋아. 그런데 네 인이까지 여러 시체니 여러 인의 그 단전에 두려 말에 원이 두려 말을 쓴디 시부지디 가서 여러 시체니 단전에 매버지 다 단전에 두 매버지 다 시부지 바 우주 좀 두려야 돼 가르쳐서는 다 안 줄 놈이야 뭐지기. 먼저 네 떠나 다 오냐 별로지 놈이 누가 다 오냐 별로지기 안줘 안돼. 真的要吧，但我速度不急的，人没个落地的，哎，你恰当接啊，过的，电信不多啊。现在今天印度的，牛毛个落地的，但牛毛这个落地的，其中看一那样，它的电信个主要是用过来接，是电信个主要是用过来落地的，电信里呀，它说电信个速度加速呢，太主要是用过来的，你个速度差了去。啊，今天因为印度上的安子 가수래 지역 간다 가인이 대다 대우냐 별로 탐자로 된지를 쓰고 말해 최초의 최신 진성으로 최신된 진성으로 뒤에 남자한테 쉬어요 아래 와 녀 삼아요 아래 로 삼아요 아래 또 다른 로 뒤에 와 와 또 가르치는 시험을 하면 코로 전쟁을 예배실로 진쟁이기 전쟁을 예배는 게 어디 있네 나삼 니네 진배 잡아요 말와 但那么能行，团队里一份真正的要落实建议之上呢，但落可来，什么来嘛来？落地是所有那些团队内有的要嘛来，就上午是单位呢，落可来落实下的要嘞。所以，但落可来落实，因为得得欧洲建设什么的，落地的碰上这样的话，是吧？所以落地碰上下的话，落眼嘛，估计地长远，所以团队因为这上呢，落眼第一的瓜呀的，他是的。 这人家的卡的车多啊，这上当的，他再去承认的噻。哦，根本是没电信的，恰当接啊的，过长远个一个人的，但恰当那车用的得了也不得啊，但这个人恰当打呀的，他是多心的。但这个人是，原来也干的，就恰当接呗，可都恰当买接呗，空了，有的电信那个要的，因为有的了呀，电信的什么那个都领不到啊，是吧？ 当恰当接嘛，就上面呀，有的了呀，新路可能是多啊，恰当就是有的新路可能是多啊。但当时想呢，现在的想，那真的就是他呢啊，当我那里东西到是五路就能光过来的，亲自老个落地马街呀，落车嘛的，那到菜路呀，给你，你亲自老个落出来去，那那铺铺子就落去给，是吧？这个落车嘛去，天天呀菜路给你说呢，那铺铺点路就是落去，你说那个落去啥的多啊？ 当你参与要钱，就国家的当，东西都要到我的，这边团呢，困难，哎，那我人民币给当地要钱呢，
So, one could raise the question that if by emptiness of inherent existence, one is not propounding everything to be non-existence, if emptiness does not entail non-existence and nothingness, then, and if emptiness really refers to the world of dependent origination, then the question could be raised, then what is the point of trying to really go through these complex thought processes of understanding how things exist and in what sense they exist? That, you know, things and events do possess a level of existence, yet they do not have any objective, independent reality. And if that is so, then what is the point of trying to sort of fine-tune this understanding of the existence of things, since we all can affirm their existence through our experience? Sufferings exist, things and events exist, everything is there. So what is the point? Why don't we leave the world as it is? Why don't we leave it alone? That a question could be raised. What is the point of trying to fine-tune this understanding of, you know, in what sense things and events exist? Here, it is important to understand the necessity or the importance of cultivating that kind of insight, which is, if you look, if you observe your own thought processes, your own states of mind, you will find the occurrence of various states of thought, various instances of thought. For example, like we have spontaneous thoughts of I am, I'm doing this, I see this, and these thoughts, such as the thought I am, cannot be said to be invalid. They are valid thoughts. However, when these thoughts, such as I am, is accompanied by a powerful kind of grasping at some kind of self as enjoying intrinsic reality, then that grasping onto the self as possessing intrinsic reality tends to give rise to all sorts of other afflictions in the mind, such as hatred, anger, attachment, and so on. So there is a kind of a causal dynamic in our mental states, and it is this grasping at true existence of things, it is this grasping at inherent existence of things that really serves as the basis for the arising of these various afflictions within us. And therefore, by cultivating the true insight into the way things really exist, which is cultivating insight into the emptiness of inherent existence, then we will be directly attacking this grasping at inherent existence of things, thus reducing its force. And the more we are able to reduce the force of this grasping, then automatically the force of the various afflictions that derives from this will also be reduced. And through this way, one will be able to gradually eliminate the afflictions of the mind. And this is something that one needs to analyze by referring to one's own experience. For example, when you have an experience of perception of something, an object or a person, try to examine how you perceive that person or an object when your state of mind is calm, when there is no turbulence of afflictions. And then try to compare that with your perception of that the same object when there is already a certain turbulence, such as anger or hatred and so on. And then try to see the difference between the two. And you need to try to see this experientially, compare the two. And one thing that will be obvious, one thing that will become evident is that when there is a turbulence in the mind, then your perception of whatever that object is, whether attractive or unattractive, desirable or undesirable, depending upon whatever it is, there is a strong emotional reaction to that. And when you experientially recognize this point, then you will feel, yes, this grasping at inherent existence of things really underpins much of our emotional, afflictive emotional responses to things. And then you will also come to realize that this grasping at inherent existence of things is a distorted state of mind. It's a false way of seeing things. Now, if it is simply a false view or simply a false perception with no consequences, then okay, that's fine. But however, that is not the case. It is not only a false understanding, but also it is a powerful false understanding which has which creates our own downfall by bringing forth various negative and afflictive emotions. So when you gain that kind of insight, then you will realize the importance for cultivating the insight into emptiness. Similarly, as you then combat with the negative and the afflictive aspects of your thoughts and emotions, at the same time, then one will be able to strengthen the positive thoughts and emotions which are not grounded in a grasping at inherent existence of things. So when deepening our understanding of emptiness, generally it is easier to arrive at the understanding of emptiness by reflecting upon the dependent origination of things. By using dependent origination as a reason, then you can infer, yes, since things and events are dependently originated, they are devoid of independent existence, they are devoid of inherent existence. It is more difficult than to make the reverse inference, which is because things and events are devoid of inherent existence, they are therefore dependently originated. However, this reverse inference is something that also needs to be cultivated, and that requires a sustained practice and familiarity, and eventually, just as one can make the forward inference, one can also make the reverse inference.
But the question of the question is that the intellectual, some of the people who are not living in the
So, as I explained yesterday, that one begins by developing a kind of understanding of emptiness at the level of the intellect, so intellectual understanding, by constantly reflecting upon this, by constantly studying, and then once you have gained a degree of understanding, then you need to habituate with this through constant familiarity, and then eventually you will get to a point where emotion you will feel its impact at the emotional level, and that way the experience will be deepened.
So 他跟人心跟我不上来没几时闲的你个来讲明居民来没提一些我你就让心没是的但叫谁去呀那那我想不通呢哦派普及三分牛街是那个这怎么可以要嘛的他三分牛街是的大等你几个军队等你几个是你接吧这都啊当跟在用的在呢军队闲的就没几个你接多啊他做定义的大力接多闲力接多啊 是的军政召集有无有的是啥呢呃这部人心的军政心里也有过的意思是的但是他过等这个点呢但呃告诉我这部人心如恰上军那个就什么几个过的意思啊这个就是有没有的到底军那个呢过这部人心都什么意思呢哎军这部借用的拉两脚的啊拉两脚呢脚他们是才能够的 叫我对面都联系接触，原来你叫我对面就参与了，原来要接触的是吧？哪样接呢？叫我对面我都通过都认识的，都是你让你叫我的没得我参与的。现在接下来的军政局部的呃，农民他这个县长没有吧？我你接触的原来对面接触的，对面接触原来，哎，你哪里没不接触的是吧？这军政这边找一个员工嘛的，军政总部没找一个员嘛的，哎，你好了。
就看什么就这不就这不就接触认识，现在好的，嗯，现在都都是一个，现在领的，他让些你个里，让来接呢，重要的，县里接呢，还上台湾的，第一是啥？你个里接有个嘛的，就没得他接完呢，俺就今天就有嘛的，啥都送的，我你认识没？养了去了，他们晓得，最多对面，那么讲呢，我你呢，明明被认识没把你都认识呢，养了去了，看到看人那样。
코랑게라랑게포게다뜻시지를때네시지를때네치르다다용무요아래서딱외쳐야지딱외시대다직도여나아니뭔지지도여나나바탐시도직도여고그래다대규모고타용그래아타자도여나뭔지타자도여나뭔지현도여나재미도지차용무요아래서어쨌든
So we read on verse 48, something existent cannot be produced, nor something non-existent like a sky flower. These errors are both absurd, and thus both of the other two will not occur either. This is an allusion to a verse in the 70 verses by Nagarjuna, where Nagarjuna points out that if things and events possess inherently existing reality, then since they possess intrinsic existence, then causation will have no role to play. Therefore, one cannot make the statement that they came about as a result of causation. On the other hand, if things and events are completely non-existent, then again, how can one speak of causation in relation to such things? This is like a sky flower. Since sky flower doesn't exist, how can one speak of its coming into being? So in this way, the point being made here is this, that when we speak of cause and effect, when we speak of causations, we are speaking at the level of appearance, we are at the level of conventional reality. For example, when we make statements such as such and such a son is born from such and such a father, or sprouts come from their seeds and so on. We are making a simple statement that something gives rise to something, and above and beyond that, we are not making a statement on the basis of searching for the ultimate reality of these things, such as by asking if that is the case, whether the cause that produced that effect, is it ultimately identical to the effect, or is it completely independent from the effect and so on. We do not make these statements about causation on the basis of making such metaphysical speculations. Rather, we make statements of causation simply at the level of everyday experience. When you try to posit causation on the basis of making such metaphysical speculations, then one run into the problem of either choosing for things and events coming into being from causes that are ultimately identical, which is a position that was maintained by an Indian school in the past, where there was an understanding that that the entire features of the effect must be present in some form in the cause. And if that is the case, then the Buddhists have critiqued this by saying that if all the features of the effects are fully present at the causal stage, then what need is there for the whole production to take place? And because they are already present, and if still one can maintain that production is necessary, then this production will be infinite. So in this way, these kind of metaphysical attempts to define causation have been critiqued. Similarly, we read in the next line, next verse, a thing is not produced from itself, nor from another, also not from both, nor causelessly either. Thus it does not exist inherently by way of its own entity. Again, the point here is similar, that if something is produced from, moreover, when all phenomena are examined as to whether they are one or many, they are not seen to exist by way of their own entity, and thus are ascertained as not inherently existent. Similarly, when we speak of things and events, the question is, do they exist as singular, or do they exist as multiple, and so on. And these characteristics of singularity and plurality, if they are claimed, asserted as being intrinsic properties or inherently real properties of the things, again, there will be a lot of problems, because if things possess inherently real identities, then it makes it very difficult to explain the relationship between cause and effect, because how can one understand a causal relation between two independently real discrete entities? If they are independently real discrete entities, then there is no way of explaining their relationship. So we read further, the reasoning of the 70 stanzas and on emptiness, the treatises on the middle way and so forth, explain that the nature of all things is established as emptiness. Since there are a great many passages, I have not cited them here, but have explained just their conclusions for the purpose of meditation. Thus, whatever is meditation on selflessness, in that it does not observe an inherent nature in phenomena, is the cultivation of wisdom.
Mm-hmm. 다 Namdo 대단히 좀 된게 남도 머리 전부도 코야자로 동어 저 도미 띵인 지는 도미 띵질 안에 봐 나가신도 도미 세 시송소 남으로 믿어 걸어 주고 손내자 당신 되게 대해서 남으로 믿어 살려 남도 저가 남대디 림지 믿어 타본 주 시송소 룬데리고 당연히 신어 주지 김에 그런 심에 번 내신 남으로 도미 공부를 차
Thus, when one arrives at an understanding that all phenomena, all things and events are devoid of inherent existence, then one should then shift the focus of one's analysis onto the very mind that is understanding emptiness. And then when you subject the mind itself, the cognition itself, that very understanding, again you will find that the mind too shares the same nature of being devoid of inherent existence. And in this way, as the text explains, one will eventually arrive at a non-conceptual understanding of emptiness. So we read, just as wisdom does not see an inherent nature in phenomena, having analyzed wisdom itself by reasoning, non-conceptually meditate on that. Then in the following stanzas, he explains why it is important to cultivate this non-conceptual wisdom. We read in verse 55, the nature of this worldly existence, which has come from conceptualization, is conceptuality. Thus the elimination of conceptuality is the highest state of nirvana. The great ignorance of conceptuality makes us fall into the ocean of cyclic existence, resting in non-conceptual stabilization. Space-like non-conceptuality manifests clearly. When bodhisattvas non-conceptually contemplate this excellent teaching, they will transcend conceptuality, so hard to overcome, and eventually reach the non-conceptual state. Having ascertained through scripture and through reasoning that phenomena are not produced nor inherently existent, meditate without conceptuality.
Chungun 시다상하게 람을 때는 지 시속을 내줘야 된대기 지 랑신을 되는 두야리야 야 그게 다 남자로 망하시니 그 랑신을 되는 자식으로 두고 그래 자와주에서 규수인데 계속 상황 주연 되나 대슬로는 원구를 칠 닝구를 이제 쏴주다 그룹으로서 통제기 라마 담아 니에버 자 라마 니에버 규버 용서로는 원구에 디군 남자 등인이 무주집에 견뎌인 교로스 다와나 이니
Then we read on verse 59, having thus meditated on suchness, eventually after reaching heat and so forth, so the heat here refers to the path of preparation or path of linking, where the meditator, the bodhisattva, has advanced in his or her realization of emptiness, where the realization of emptiness has now become meditatively derived, and then read the very joyful, and the others are attained. The very joyful is the name of the first bodhisattva level, bodhisattva bhumi, and before long the enlightened state of Buddhahood. And then from verse 60, the tantra is explained. If you wish to create with ease the collection for enlightenment through activities of pacification, increase and so forth, gained by the power of mantra. So these activities refer to the four activities such as pacification, increase, influence, and wrathful actions, where in the tantric teachings, much greater resources of activities are found which can be employed in one's task of bringing about others' well-being. So we read further, and also through the force of the eight and other great attainments like the good pot, if you want to practice secret mantra, as explained in the action and performance tantras, then to receive the preceptor initiation, you must please an excellent spiritual teacher through service, valuable gifts and the like, as well as through obedience. Through the full bestowing of the preceptor initiation by a spiritual teacher who is pleased, you are purified of all wrongdoing and become fit to gain powerful attainments. And then in the verse 64, a question is raised about, if that is so, how does an ordained member who is a Vajrayana practitioner relate to certain aspects of the Vajrayana practice, such as relying on concepts and so on? And then we read, because the great tantra of the primordial Buddha forbids it emphatically, those observing pure conduct should not take the secret and wisdom initiations. So here the point is that these secret and wisdom initiations should not be taken in actuality by members of the ordained members. So we read, if those observing, so the point is that it is important for the practitioners to understand the appropriateness of the time when these different aspects of the Vajrayana path needs to be applied in one's own case, and also judging by the level of one's own realization, and also by comparing the various presentation of the different teachings. By it is on the basis of all this accumulative kind of understanding that one needs to approach these practices. So we read, if those observing the austere practice of pure conduct were to hold these initiations, their vow of austerity will be impaired through doing what is that which is prescribed. This creates transgressions which are a defeat for those observing discipline. Since they are certain to fall to a bad rebirth, they will never gain accomplishments. There is no fault if one who has received the preceptor initiation and has knowledge of suchness listens to or explains the tantras and performs burnt offering rituals or make offerings of gifts and so forth. And then finally in verse 68, author identifies himself, and so this is like the colophon. I, the elder Dipamkara Shiri, having seen it explained in sutra and in other teachings, have made this concise explanation at the request of Changchukwe. And then we read, this concludes the lamp for the path to enlightenment by the great master Dipamkara Shiri Jana. It was translated, revised and finalized by the eminent Indian abbot himself and by the great reviser, translator and fully ordained monk Gewe Lodu. This teaching was written in the temple of Toling in Shangshung.
Yeah. 다지 안다 람든 이 셰룽 토리아다 지 람 네로 도도 도지 다시 응는 말에 신기 말에 도도 도도 시지리 엔디 디미 소르체 엔 자주 무튼다 되지다 거래 엔 소수다 쳐서옵니다 라마 소리야 엔 끊시
So with this the transmission of the reading of Atisha's lamp for the path to enlightenment with some commentaries of the key points have been presented and although I cannot myself claim to have any profound understanding or the realization you can use what I have explained here as a key and then you should try to deepen your own understanding through further study and practice. You can also ask your teachers, especially if you are members of various Buddhist centers, you may have resident teachers. You can ask these teachers so that you can then deepen your understanding.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So with this, the teachings are finished.
And then, down
Yeah.
Yeah.